Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Loving Someone Who Has Sexual Trauma, a compassionate guide to supporting your partner and improving your relationship. By Megan Lara Nagendank, LMFT, CST. Foreword by Stephanie Bueller, PsyD, CSTS. Narrated by Sarah Sheckles. Forward. If you are the partner of someone who has survived sexual trauma, your relationship has undoubtedly created an array of conflicting feelings, from love and passion to confusion, hurt, and anger. The fact is, no matter how much you may love your partner, it can at times be difficult to understand why they act as they do, even years after the traumatic event first occurred. Your partner seems to be on a roller coaster, but when you try to help, nothing you do seems right. Your relationship with a survivor of sexual trauma can leave you feeling exhausted and questioning your self-worth. You may spend so much time supporting your partner that you feel lost yourself, unsure of who you are and what more you can do. Fortunately, you have chosen to listen to Loving Someone Who Has Sexual Trauma, a compassionate and encouraging book by my colleague, Megan Nagendank. In a straightforward but gentle way, Nagendank explains not only the effects of sexual trauma on your partner so that you can understand why they react as they do, but the effect of their trauma symptoms on you. While many books have been written for the person suffering with PTSD and other impacts of trauma, little practical help has been available for the partner navigating the late effects of sexual trauma until now. While Nagendank acknowledges that being the partner of someone who has experienced sexual trauma can be difficult, even exhausting, it also presents an opportunity for understanding and growth. Once you understand the behaviors of your partner, you still need to know how to respond. Often the impulse is to rush in and fix things, and while sometimes your efforts are welcome, other times you find yourself being pushed away. Or because you're not sure quite what to do to comfort your partner, you decide to give them some space, and then find out that what they really wanted was attention. You can end up feeling pulled every which way with a bubbling cauldron of different feelings. And here's the thing, that's what your partner is feeling too. Then the two of you are stuck in the cauldron. But it doesn't have to be that way. Fortunately, there are solutions and tools you can use to manage yourself and manage your relationship, including letting go of the urge to manage your partner and make things all better, a challenging task for anyone. By listening to this book, you'll understand your partner's specific symptoms and why they've persisted. You'll learn to build trust that may have been eroded, even if you are trustworthy, and why consent, even in a committed relationship, matters to your partner. You'll find out about the role of attachment in creating a safe, secure relationship, not only for your partner's benefit, but for your own. You'll learn how it is possible to cope with trauma by listening to the stories of all kinds of couples who have been there. You'll see how survivors and their partners have healed by engaging in easily adopted self-soothing practices like deep breathing and stress management. You'll hear about how they also did deeper inner work, reflecting on the nature of trauma and its impact. To help with this inner work, so necessary to healing, Nagendank has included many questions, asking you to think about the situations of the couples she's presented, your own situation, and what will be helpful to you and your partner in creating a mutually nurturing bond. Perhaps without realizing it, you will be learning life skills that can help you cope not only with the fallout of sexual trauma, but with many stressful life situations. You'll become more self-compassionate and more resilient, which includes asking for help for yourself or your relationship if you need it. Nagin Dank provides an outline of how to identify and discuss difficult topics, including, for example, how to bring up to your partner the possibility of being assessed for medications. One of the biggest challenges for survivors of sexual trauma and their partners is establishing and maintaining a safe, healthy, and mutual fulfilling sexual relationship. For that reason, Nagin Dank, who is an expert sex therapist, has included a chapter on intimacy and sexuality after trauma. Whether you listen to this chapter alone or with your partner, you will find out how to establish a feeling of safety so that you and your partner can be more open in your communication about sex. Such communication can include how you might create a joint vision of what you'd like your sex life to be like, or what sexual activities each of you enjoys or doesn't enjoy. You'll expand your idea of what constitutes sex, too, so that you will have more opportunities for pleasure than when you were focused on a limited sexual script. In short, the book you are listening to is packed with an incredible amount of valuable and practical information that is paced in such a way that you can take your time and absorb what you are learning. You'll take better care of yourself, and you'll find out that, ironically, in so doing, you will be a better partner. You also may come to find that you have your own trauma, maybe not to the alarming level that your partner has experienced, that you have never dealt with because you didn't know how. With this book, you'll understand the nature of sexual trauma, and with Nagin Dank's help, you'll know that it is possible, truly possible, to heal. Stephanie Bueller, MPW, PsyD, CSTS, IF. Director, LearnSexTherapy.com by The Bueller Institute. Introduction. Sexual trauma impacts far more people than those who experience it firsthand. It impacts the people who love and care about them, too. Whether your partner's sexual trauma was days, months, or years ago, whether it was one horrible experience or many, your partner may have varying levels of trauma symptoms, and their relationships with friends, family members, and intimate partners may be impacted. This, likely, is what led you to this book. After years in practice providing psychotherapy to individuals and couples who have been impacted by sexual trauma, I've noticed that the partners of sexual trauma survivors are often confused about how to help or what to say. Does this sound familiar? You may become overwhelmed or have a hard time understanding your partner's strong emotional reactions and behaviors. You may not know how to respond and feel like anything you say or do makes it worse. It is hard to see someone we love in great distress. You may feel many of the same emotions your partner has experienced. Shock, guilt, anger, fear, denial, grief. You may even experience vicarious trauma, which we will explore in Chapter 2 of this book. Taking care of yourself and understanding the impact of this trauma on you and your relationship is a very important part of this book. What I hope for you and anyone impacted by sexual trauma is to know that you are not alone. In our society, often just talking about sex or trauma can feel taboo. It's hard being open about events that have affected us deeply. And we may fear being judged by others or misunderstood when we do. So, how do we get support in this area, especially when it can feel like an awkward topic to bring up with even our most trusted loved ones and still protect the privacy of our partner? You may have found yourself Googling for answers. You might even have found some good tips. What may have been sorely lacking in your research, though, are real stories. How are other partners of survivors coping? How are relationships really impacted when one or both partners are survivors of sexual assault? How do you support your partner in their healing while also having space to have your own needs met in the relationship? Is what you are experiencing normal? Every day in my psychotherapy practice, I support survivors and their partners to heal through their trauma and find ways to trust intimate emotional and physical connection. One of the most common experiences of survivors and their partners is feeling alone with their pain. Sexual trauma isn't a rare experience, but it is not something we tend to discuss openly with others. This adds to a feeling of isolation and confusion, which can put additional stress on the relationship. By listening to this book, you will learn about the many ways that sexual trauma can impact not only the survivor, but also their partner and the relationship itself, including future intimate relationships. Know that you are not alone, and that there are ways through the pain to a place of healing and connection. Sexual trauma is extremely prevalent in our society. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 2018, across the United States, about 1 in 5 women experience attempted or completed rape within their lifetime. In addition to this, just over 80% of women and just over 40% of men experience some type of sexual assault or harassment in their lives. So even though living with sexual trauma and supporting someone who does can feel lonely and isolating, far too many people in our society have experienced this trauma. This book is organized into 7 chapters. In Chapter 1, we will learn more about the impact of the sexual trauma on your partner and hear examples of survivor stories to help you see how sexual trauma impacts people and relationships differently. You'll likely recognize some of your own or your partner's experiences in these stories. In Chapter 2, we will look more deeply at the impact of the sexual trauma on you and your relationship. Sexual trauma has a ripple effect on all people and areas of the survivor's life, and you will learn more about the pain you might be experiencing in your relationship. In Chapter 3, you will learn how, through attachment science, your relationship offers great healing to you and your partner. We'll also look at ways you can decrease your own stress when you step into the role of helping your partner heal. In Chapter 4, you will learn relationship skills that can help you now and for the rest of your life. In Chapter 5, you will learn how to move through the most distressing moments in your relationship, when your partner experiences a trigger related to the trauma and you both become distressed. In Chapter 6, you'll learn how to create a sexually satisfying relationship when one or both partners are survivors of sexual trauma. And finally, in Chapter 7, you will hear from real survivors and their partners, and undoubtedly walk away with hope for the future. Throughout this book, you will come across reflection questions and exercises to help you integrate information and skills you learn throughout your listening. I recommend that you have a dedicated journal for this purpose, but if you aren't the journaling type, it's not necessary. Additionally, there are several free tools, including worksheets, available on the website for this book. newharbinger.com/51574. When I started working with sexual trauma survivors in my practice, I was initially surprised at how many partners wanted to come into a session to learn more about how to support their loved one. Survivors can feel so alone in their pain. But time and time again, their partners walked into my office wanting to open up about their experiences and learn to be a better partner. As a survivor myself, I know how meaningful it is for another person to really see the pain we're in and want to help instead of running away. It's in these moments that I have hope for all of us. By starting this book, you are that person today, hoping to help your partner, hoping to help yourself, hoping to feel better in your relationship, and maybe hoping to change the world a little bit in doing so. Let's get started. You don't have to go it alone. Chapter 1. Understanding Your Partner and the Survivor Experience. As a partner of someone who has experienced sexual trauma, you may feel a myriad of emotions, likely including uncertainty about how to help, and sometimes even how to be in this relationship. This chapter will focus on laying the groundwork for how you can best support your partner, take care of yourself, and become closer in your relationship. Before we can do these things, it is helpful to understand what sexual trauma is, how common it is, and ways that your partner may have been affected by their trauma. Your role in this chapter is to listen, understand, reflect, and gain more insight into your partner's experience. You and your partner are not alone. Next, you will find 5 stories of partners navigating sexual trauma and the impact on their relationship. Themes and experiences included in these stories are common in my psychotherapy practice, but no story is based entirely upon or representative of a past or former client. These stories are an amalgamation of over a decade of professional work and decades of personal experience and allyship. We will return to these survivor stories throughout the book. Thomas and Marina. Thomas, he, him, and Marina, she, her, have been married for 5 years. They met in their early 20s while working together at a restaurant. Marina was raised in a high-conflict home. Her father abused alcohol and had a temper. Her mom focused much of her time on keeping the household running and wasn't emotionally available. As a result, it was often hard for Marina to feel loved or open up to others and to trust that they'd care for her. Prior to meeting Thomas, Marina had a 2-year serious dating relationship. This relationship was emotionally and sexually abusive. Her partner did not respect Marina's boundaries and often pressured her into sex or became angry and threatening when she was not in the mood. When Marina met Thomas, she felt safer with him than with any man she had known in her life. Their friendship and partnership grew deeply and quickly. Thomas loves feeling like Marina's protector. She is kind, funny, and beautiful. He loves feeling close to her emotionally and physically. In fact, being close to Marina is when he feels more secure and at ease than he's ever felt before. After being married a few years, Thomas and Marina decided to become parents. Marina's pregnancy was mostly smooth, which was a relief to her, and Thomas felt tremendous joy when their baby was born. However, Marina has been very anxious since having the baby, and they're both navigating the stress of new parenthood. Thomas misses having time with Marina and often asks her why they don't find the time to talk with each other anymore, and why she never wants to have sex when he makes a move. As for Marina, she finds herself shutting down and pulling away from Thomas. She tells him she feels pressured by him. She seems angry at him. She also feels guilty when she turns Thomas down, knowing he's confused and hurt. Finally, Marina opens up and shares about her past sexually and emotionally violent relationship. She tells Thomas he's triggering those memories for her and she doesn't know what to do. Thomas is hurt and defensive. He feels he's been nothing but supportive and loving to Marina. He misses connection with her, and he's offended that Marina is comparing him to her jerk ex-boyfriend. In the end, it feels like they don't understand each other anymore, and Thomas is terrified he is losing his best friend and partner. What parts of Marina and Thomas's story did you identify with? Why do you think Marina is feeling triggered right now, and what might she need from Thomas? Why do you think Thomas is hurting, and what do you think he wants Marina to understand? Favor and Frank. Favor, he, him, and Frank, he, him, have been in a monogamous relationship for 3 years. They have the same circle of friends and enjoy many of the same hobbies. Favor loves Frank's sense of humor, compassion, and ability to coordinate their social calendar. Frank finds Favor extremely attractive and intelligent, and admires how dedicated he is to his career. Favor and Frank's sexual relationship has been hot and heavy from the start. Their sexual attraction and chemistry were strong on their first date. They found connecting in this way easy and enjoyable. Bonding over so many shared interests also made dating and getting to know each other fun. They had nothing but high hopes for their relationship, and committing to a life together came naturally. Recently, Favor has been taking on more responsibilities at work. He is much more stressed than normal, and when he's stressed, he can pull away or seem grumpy. He's canceled plans with friends more than a few times, and Frank feels like he never sees Favor anymore. They are bickering often and end up having their first blow-up argument, which ends with Favor sleeping on the couch. The next morning, Favor is feeling sheepish and wants to make it up to Frank. He slips back into bed during the early hours and begins rubbing Frank's upper leg, usually a mutually enjoyable move that ends up in pleasurable sex for both. This time, though, Frank's body gets tense, and his breathing is fast and intense. He seems scared, and Favor stops immediately, realizing that Frank isn't fully there. They are quiet for a few stressful minutes before Frank bursts into tears. He tells Favor he does not want to talk about it, and he takes a shower. He avoids Favor the rest of the day. Favor is worried, confused, and wants to know what he did wrong. He doesn't bring it up again, but asks Frank if he can talk about what happened via a text message. Frank says he's ready to talk about it tonight. Frank opens up to Favor for the first time about a date rape he experienced 5 years ago. He is shaking as he shares. He feels embarrassed that the rape happened. He's never talked about it before, and he's ashamed that he flashed the rape when Favor made a move. He knows Favor didn't mean to hurt him, and he shares that he thinks he had a panic attack. He also shares that he sometimes has nightmares about the rape, but that he hasn't been triggered during sex before. Both partners are worried. Favor wants to support Frank and doesn't want to trigger him again. He's so afraid he's going to do something wrong. Frank feels guilty that his burden is now affecting their relationship. He doesn't want to lose Favor, but doesn't know what to do. As you listen to Favor and Frank's story, do you identify with any parts? Why do you think Frank responded the way he did to Favor's touch? How do you think Favor is feeling, and what might he want Frank to understand? Gia and Samantha. Gia, she, her, and Samantha, she, her, met 7 years ago in a statistics class in college. They studied together and fell in love over quantitative analysis and laughing about the funny blouses their professor wore. After graduation, they moved in together. They adopted 2 rescued dogs and about 100 houseplants. They love hosting book club for their friends and cooking delicious meals from scratch. They understand that relationships have conflict and require work. They balance their time together and individual time exploring their own interests. They work on communicating honestly and respectfully to each other. They are both satisfied with their sex life, and after 7 years together, they understand the ebbs and flows of sexual connection. Recently, Gia was sexually assaulted by an administrator, Theo, at the hospital where she works. Theo is her supervisor's boss. He had taken a special interest in Gia recently and offered to mentor her. She was excited for the opportunity and had been meeting with the administrator about 2x a month for lunch and mentorship in his office. He had been flirtatious before, but Gia thought she was being overly sensitive. She brought it up with her supervisor, and her supervisor said that Theo talks like that to everyone and is from a different time. Gia got the impression that her supervisor thought she was overreacting, and she continued to meet with Theo alone. She was learning a lot from him, after all. Last week, their meeting felt different. He asked if they could reschedule from lunch to evening. Gia's heart started pounding as she realized that the people working in administrative offices likely wouldn't be around in the evening, but she didn't want to offend Theo. She showed up for their meeting as usual. Theo sexually assaulted Gia that night. Gia left his office feeling humiliated and terrified and blaming herself. Why didn't she listen to her feelings that it wasn't safe to meet with Theo alone? Her mind was racing, and she called Samantha and told her what happened. Samantha dropped everything she was doing and raced to Gia's side. Gia decided she wanted to contact a rape survivor advocacy group and take part in a rape kit exam. She doesn't know yet if she would like to press charges or to report the assault to the administration at her hospital. She's taken an indefinite and unpaid leave from work. Samantha notices that Gia has not only withdrawn from their relationship, but from her life. She stays in their bedroom all day and doesn't want to see friends or engage in any of the activities they usually do together. Frequently, Samantha hears Gia crying, but when she goes to sit with her, Gia asks her to leave or walks away herself. Samantha is angry. She is angry at Theo for assaulting Gia. She is angry at the hospital for being an unsafe work environment for Gia. She's angry at the officer they spoke to after the assault and how they treated Gia. She's angry at herself for not knowing how to support Gia. If she's really honest with herself, a part of her is even angry at Gia. As for Gia, she doesn't know how she feels anymore. She feels nothing. She tries not to think about the assault, But every time she does, she plays over and over what she thinks she did wrong. She doesn't want to go back to work at the hospital. She doesn't know if she'll ever feel safe to trust herself out in the world.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?